Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler.
Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are so excited that you guys could join us today. We have a very special guest joining us. His name is Nathaniel Osborne. He is a strong, godly kingdom man. He has been walking with the Lord for over four decades. He is my husband's best friend, and he's also a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. Nathaniel Osborne was born and raised in Houston, Texas. He is the only son and the youngest of three children. He is a retired firefighter. He has been saved for 45 years and married to his sweet bride, Ruby, for 36 years. He is a faithful servant of the Lord. He serves in the Greeters Ministry, Food Pantry, and aside from his local church, he is actively involved in a Christian monthly men's network. Nathaniel was raised in a Christian home. His parents were married for 57 years. His mom and dad made them go to church and Sunday school every Sunday. He remembers his pastor as a child growing up as a good man and solid in the faith. Nathaniel had a strong foundation in God's word as a youth and continued to grow and develop spiritually. He also had good, healthy relationships with his mom and dad. He remembers spending a lot of time with his dad and his dad's friends. They were older, godly men who were married, and they were one-woman type of men. They honored their marriage vows and the sanctity of marriage. They were also committed to their spouses and families. Nathaniel was surrounded by strong, godly men who modeled what real manhood looks like. He remembers as a child, at about 8 years of age, he would sit on the porch with his neighbor, Mr. Johnson, and talk about the Lord, life, marriage, family, and sports. By the age of 10, he knew he wanted to be married. At the age of 18, he was saved and began to bring his desire for a godly mate before the Lord. Nathaniel is here to share with us his journey to finding his godly wife of 36 years. Thank you so much, Nathaniel, for joining us. Please go ahead and share your testimony.
Thank you, first of all, just for having me. After hearing you read that, I was like, man, wow, is that really me? But it sounded like much more than what I could be or what I could do. So thank God doing what he's done in my life. So as I reflected on that as you read that. So I appreciate you having me on and just this opportunity to share a little bit about me and part of my life and so forth. So I appreciate that. For me, in terms of just growing up as a child, my dad didn't have a lot of friends. I recollect. He just had a few friends, and the ones that he did have were good guys and godly men. So I remember that vividly. I spent a lot of time with my dad. My dad was a good man, good provider. Like you said in the introduction, he made us go to church. He wasn't one who sent us to church with my mother, but he led in a godly way. So that had a real big influence on my life. One thing that kind of stands out to me, he had one friend. As I was a kid, probably 8, 9 years old, so his friend, Mr. Jackson, would always, when he would meet me or greet me, he would always ask, how was the wife and babies? And I realized later on that he was planting some seeds in my life.
Amen.
And I think that had a big impact on my life as well in terms of me having a desire to get married, to have my own family, and live my life for the Lord. So just good godly influences was big for me growing up.
Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. So do you recall what was actually going on in your heart at such a young age to even want to think about wanting to be married?
Well, as we talked the other day, I just and I was recalling some of the conversations that I had with one of the men that I would sit go down to his house, and we'd sit on the front porch and just talk about life and sports and marriage and the Lord and so forth. I think that had a big impact on me in terms of just watching him and his wife. I know they were married for over 60 years before his death. My mom and dad were married 57 years before my mother passed. And then Mr. Jackson, who I talked about, who laid some seeds there for me as well, he was married for 60 plus years. So I think just hanging out with my dad, spending a lot of time with my dad talking to me, my mother talking to me. I believe God was just laying the foundation for me to start thinking about that. So I know it sounds a little weird at 10 years old, you're thinking about marriage, but that's the way it went for me. And I, with that said, I believe that godly men do have a real big impact on young people. Yeah, that's what impacted me the most.
That is awesome. Now, let's move forward a few years. At the age of 18, you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you begin this journey for a godly wife. Share with us how that journey started.
Okay, yeah, like I said, grew up going to church and everything, but wasn't saved. And I realized that because one of the things that my mother used to and my dad used to do, they would watch Billy Graham. We actually went to one of his crusades when he came to Houston. And so by listening to Billy Graham and him talking about accepting Jesus Christ as your savior, if you died tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? And he would say that often. And I remember as a young man or a youngster hearing that, but I would leave the room because I was like, okay, I really don't want to hear this part. But the gospel was good. But at the age of 18, about 18, is when I just surrendered my life to Christ and said, God, I know I need a savior. So I just remember one night in my room all by myself, just getting down on my knees and asking Jesus to come into my heart, live through me. And I do remember it was just like a big weight being lifted off of my shoulders after I'd accepted Christ as my savior. And I think for me, in terms of just, like I say, seeing my dad, seeing my mother, they had a good relationship. I had a real good relationship with both of my parents, actually. And them speaking into my life, just watching them just really, really made all the difference in the world. So I would read my Bible, just began reading my Bible, listening to different preachers. I was introduced to a lady. I remember it was just before graduation. I graduated from high school in 1979. Her name was Miss Alma Parker. She gave me a Bible and she inscribed in it and encouraged me to keep following, keep seeking the Lord. But she also introduced me to a radio station, KHCB, which stands for Keeping Him Close By, which I and my wife listens to. My wife listens to it all the time, 105.7 FM. So on that radio station, I just heard some really, really good, solid teaching. One of my favorites was Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll, Tony Evans, John MacArthur. So many good teachers on that radio station that I listened to it a lot and began going to different conferences. And then in terms of marriage, I would read about marriage. I would, just try to learn all I could about it, not only from scripture, but through just reading good books, even going to some workshops, single workshops, and that type of thing. So I think that was the beginning of my journey to seek a godly wife and to seek really what God had in store for me, or who God had in store for me.
Awesome. And now you shared also with me before that as a godly man, you were doing your part. You were working hard as a firefighter, seeking the Lord and obeying his word before you met your wife. So let's talk about how a godly man has to do things in that order.
Right. Okay. I went to school. I ended up going to Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, and I was involved in the BSU, Baptist Student Union. So I was involved in a couple of different organizations in school, just seeking God. When I finished school, I didn't get a job in what I got my degree in, and I look back now and I can see how God worked that. I just was trusting Him for for everything, for my future, for my job, and the whole nine yards. So I worked at a fast food restaurant, which was Taco Bueno. in the Houston area. I did that for a year before I got into the Houston Fire Department. And all this time, I started trying to get into the Houston Fire Department while I was in college, but they weren't hiring. And so I just kept trying and just waited and just being patient, just basically just trusting God for my future. And finally, I got on, I think I was 24 or 25 in 1986 when I got into the Houston Fire Department. And so as I look back on it, and I could see God's hand and him working through that in his book called Kingdom Man by Dr. Tony Evans. He talks about how God gave Adam, first of all, his word to obey, work to do, and a woman to love in that order. And so as I read that and I reflect back on how God worked in my life, because I was praying. I would go out with some ladies. I dated some. They weren't the right ones for me. And so as I look back and reflect on that, I can see how God moved. First of all, he gave me his word to obey, which I, to the best of my ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I was trying to walk with Christ in everything that I did. He gave me work to do, which was a good career in the Houston Fire Department. I enjoyed 32 years of doing that. And then he gave me my wife, Ruby, to love. So, and as I look back and reflect on it, I go, wow, just look at God's hand and how he did that for me.
Amen. Now, here's something that I also remember you saying when we first talked. You said that you were looking for a Proverbs 31 woman, and that real godly men are not looking for women who are chasing them down or moving too fast. Talk a little bit about that, or they're not looking for women to go to bed with.
It's funny that you say that, because just today I was talking to a good godly friend of mine, and we were just talking about that. And I asked him that question in terms of ladies that he would may meet or whatnot, and were put pressure on him after two or three dates. And I think most men just aren't. We're just not wired like that. I just believe God gave us the desire to be the seeker and not so much be the person who's being sought after. Now, of course, you do. If you meet someone, you want to know that they may be interested in you, and you're not just wasting time. But most men just are not really desiring to be sought, after or chased or that sort of thing. So as he and I were talking, we were just kind of reflecting on that. And if you meet someone, as a single man, I believe that really a man should be the one to step up when it comes to, sexual relations in terms of and not wanting to go to bed with the woman, because his desire is to please God. And so if you
Amen.
meet someone like that, her desire is to please God as well, then I think a good godly woman will respect a man, that has that desire and is who's willing to take the lead in that initiative. I don't believe in long dating or engagement periods. Matter of fact, the Bible doesn't really talks about dating. We're human. We have desires, which are good desires, but God wants us to be under control with our desires, and he wants us to submit those desires to him and allow him to help us work through a relationship and so forth without being involved sexually. Yeah, so that's my belief. For example, my wife and I dated for I met her, and 6 months later we were engaged, and then 6 months later we were married. So in about a year's time we were married, and that was while I was in the fire department academy. And then once I graduated, got on at a steady job. So I just look back and to see how God worked that out and hooked me up with my
Amen.
wife.
Yes. So now let's talk about during the courtship, what are some things you guys did in order to remain close to the Lord and to honor the Lord in your relationship?
We didn't spend a lot of long time together. One of the things that we did was talk on the phone a lot. She lived in one part of Houston. I lived in the other part of Houston. But I think another important part of that element was that we both were involved in a singles ministry. We had a good, strong, solid ministry at the church that we went to. By the way, while I was in the fire department academy, I was looking for some outlets to go to, some things to get involved in. Good wholesome things as a single man. So one of my friends who was in the fire department academy invited me to his church. And ended up going, ended up liking it, ended up joining, ended up getting involved with the singles ministry. So we were, like I said, we both were involved in the singles ministry. We both were hungry because my wife was a relative new Christian as well. And so we had good godly influences around us. You know, our parents were big, you know, big part of our relationship in terms of just seeking wise counsel. You know, is she the one, you know, possibly that would be a good wife for me? Would I be a good husband for her? Like I said, again, we didn't spend a lot of a long time together, but we did spend time with each other's family, getting to know her family, her getting to know my family, were some of the things that we did. But as I look back, I think, you know, just being part of a good, strong, solid singles ministry was big, was huge for us.
Awesome. Now, let me ask you another question. So, during that process, if a person, a man meets a lady and she's not interested in meeting, let's say, his family, or she doesn't open up to want to meet his family or friends, do you think that's a red flag?
That's a good question. I would kind of wonder why doesn't she want to meet, you know, my family and that sort of thing. That would be, to me, it would be a little odd, I could say, you know, if she didn't want to. Again, I think that's a big part of finding out more about the person that you're dating or that you're interested in, is getting to know what type of family that he or she, you know, is out of. What are you looking at in terms of mental illnesses? And we know, right, a lot of different things come out of that. So I think that's huge to want to meet, you know, meet the family.
Absolutely. And I say that because you said you met Ruby's mother and her family, and even up till this day, you're still very close and in good relationship with her brothers and sisters, correct?
Correct. We are. Her mother was a single lady, and she was single because Ruby's dad passed when she was 7 years old. She came from a big family. There was nine of them, actually. And her mother didn't decided not to marry again because she wanted to. She was looking after the well-being of her daughters, so she didn't marry again. So one of the things that I did was I spent a lot of with her mother. Her mother was an invalid and in a wheelchair. But whenever I would go over to Ruby's house, I would spend a lot of time, you know, talking with her mother getting to know me getting to know her, and also her brothers. She has one, her oldest brother, who was kind of like a father figure to her and with her. So he and I spent a lot of time together and talked a lot. So even to this day, we have good relationships. We'll talk, call each other, and see what's going on and talk and spend time together when we see each other and so forth. So that was huge to me, and vice versa. She spent quite a bit of time with my family as well and getting to know them. So even today, when we go visit some different family members and so forth, it's almost like, you know, they like Ruby more than they like me. But I'm good with that.
Wow.
It's all good.
Wow.
They love Ruby.
That's awesome. So let me ask you another question. So we know that sometimes Christians are basically just churchgoers. They just sometimes just go through the motion. They've just been taught you go to church every Sunday, but they haven't really, like you said, even in your own life, they haven't come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So why is it so very important for a man to come to know the Lord as his Lord and Savior and not just be a church goer in the process of finding a wife?
Because for one, me personally, I wanted God's best for my life.
Amen.
And I want all that God has for me this side of heaven. I wanted to be a successful man in everything that I did in my career and with finances. I've heard this said, and I really believe it to be true. Outside of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal savior, which is the most important thing that a person can do, the second biggest thing that you do is the person that you marry, that you, when you have those vows, until death do us part. That's huge. So you really want God's best for your life. So receiving the benefits and living in enjoying God's blessings is obeying God. So you have to know, you know, is this person just talking a talk, or are they really walking the walk that they profess to be? We were young. we obviously weren't, who we are now at this point. We've been married 36 years. So we weren't then who we are now. So I think, especially if a lady, a young lady is looking at a man or an older person who may, get married at a later in life, you have to see, what is this person just talking the talk, or are they actually walking the walk? So I think that involves listening to what they say in terms of what's their language like, who are some of the people that they're hanging around with. As we like to say, that birds of a feather do flock together. So there's a lot that I think that you have to look at in terms of, is this person, are they growing and actually seeking God in their lives, in terms of, and I'll just use, for example, say if you may have a person who uses foul language or curses a lot. If they're growing in God's word, reading God's word, they may read somewhere in there about, where God talks about a coarse language. And this is just for an example. They may read that, get convicted by it, and decide, God, this is an area where I really need help in. So, I pray and I just pray and ask that you would help me in this area. So, you may hear him, cursing a lot, and then all of a sudden, as time goes on, you may hear him, cussing less and less and less. And that's just an example of how God can work in a person's heart, through reading the word and so forth. So just seeing, where is this person headed? Are they really seeking God? Or are they just going to church on Sunday and then Monday through Saturday, just living any kind of lifestyle? So those are some things that you want to look at in terms of growth of in a person.
Awesome. Now, let's talk about, you mentioned before that when you marry a spouse, that they're not perfect and there's no one person in a marriage that can be everything in meeting the other person's needs, but only Christ. So talk about that a little.
And that's true. I think particularly on the parts of some women, I'm not gonna say all, but some women, I don't make blanket statement. From what we see on TV, from what you see on Facebook, there's so many influences out there of people's lives and what we have in our head of what marriage should look like or what we think that it should be and so forth. So I think some women maybe start to think that this man is going to fulfill their everything that they're missing, maybe missing or not have in their life. But we're not that good. I don't care how you can have a really good golly, good marriage, but I can't. And my wife and I do. We have a good marriage. I enjoy her. She enjoys me most of the time. I always say, as a saying, 90 to 95% of marriage in our case is good. It's that other 5 to 10% we just won't talk about. So I can't be God to her. Only Christ can fulfill that. So that's why a person has to, know Christ is the, this is for Christians, knowing Christ is the, as a personal savior and developing and growing in him. And I really believe that if you have a person who's content in their single life, then I think you're at a point where God can really, if you're praying about a mate, praying about marriage, God can work in that because you're content with him.
Amen.
If we look back in the scriptures, Adam was content when he didn't have a woman. He was naming all the animals. He was doing what God told him to in the garden, and he was content. But God said, and the first thing he said that was not good was that man should be alone. He'd give him a helper who was suitable for him. And that's another thing I want to bring up, that word. I spent some time looking at it, suitable. What is suitable for me? As I was seeking God, as I was, seeking Christ in my life, and would meet, different ladies and so forth, and it just wouldn't click. I look back on it now and I realize that they may not have been suitable for me, and vice versa. But I
Amen.
really believe that if you got two people who are seeking God with, with their whole heart, trying to please him, then at that right time, God in his infinite wisdom can bring two hearts and two minds together, and it just clicks. My wife and I came from two different backgrounds, two different families, two different ways of thinking. And what I've noticed over the years is, because she's more serious than I am. I'm lighthearted. You know me.
Right,
I'm
right.
lighthearted. I can laugh all the time, act
Right.
crazy and so forth. But we balanced each other out. And I think she's kind of loosened up over the years. I've kind of gotten a little bit more serious over the years, but she's helped me and I've helped her. And like I say, God knew he brought us together at his timing and his way. And I just, you know, attribute our marriage to being to us both being in Christ. We're not perfect people by any means. I don't want, you know, people, anybody to think that we're perfect people. We're not. We have our, you know, our flaws. We have our differences of opinion. But, you know, I can honestly say, and I know this may sound strange to some people listening to this, but we never have had a knockdown, drag out argument or anything like that. We have disagreements, but we never have fussed and fought or anything like that. So as God, you know, has worked in my heart, is working in her heart, and I'm continually growing. So I never want to think that I've reached that pinnacle. That won't happen until I get to heaven. In terms of, you know, me reaching perfection, that just won't happen on this side of heaven. So,
amen. So when you talk about the peace that you guys have in your home, that's one of the blessings that come with doing things God's way and being obedient to the Lord, correct?
Correct. I definitely agree with that. And, you know, for me personally, it's nice to be able to come home to, you know, to a lady who loves God and who's, you know, seeking to please him first and foremost. And I know he's first and foremost in her life. So, but she also respects me. And I really appreciate that about her. You know, I love and respect my wife. So, yeah, so I think that's, you know, just having peace is huge.
Amen. Well, that is so beautiful. And we know that we have been in fellowship with you guys for years and years, over 20 years, at least as long as we've been married. And you guys are just such a beautiful model of a married couple. And we're so glad that the Lord put you guys in our lives also.
You guys have been a blessing in our lives as well. Larry, your husband and I have known each other for over 30 some odd years, and a good solid Christian man. He and I spend a lot of time talking and encouraging one another and praying for each other. So I think that's huge too, to have someone that you can confide in about some things that, you know, we as men deal with and go through. So that's been a huge part as well.
So would you please just close out in prayer?
Father, I just come to you. Just thank you for this time I had with Ms. Tyler, and thank you for the opportunity to share my little words of hopefully wisdom that can encourage somebody. I thank you for what she's doing in the lives of so many people. Thank you for the blessing that she's been. And whoever's listening to this, God, I pray and ask that they were encouraged in some way, some form, some shape. And those who may be who are seeking a spouse, I'm praying for those and asking that they would first of all seek you, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And at the proper time, you would bring someone who's suitable for them into their lives. So God, we just thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. We just thank you for loving us the way that you do. And with this, we just want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for who you are and for whose we are. Your children. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Nathaniel, and God bless you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you. Until we meet again.